your household growing up, but every now and then you'd ask someone, what are you doing? And they would respond, oh, just mildewing. Has anybody ever heard that before? Thank you, Carol. I'm so glad one person's heard that. Well, that's my title tonight. Are you doing or mildewing? That's what we're preaching on tonight. Are you doing or mildewing? And it's sponsored by 409, so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Think about that last part of the verse. Deceiving your own selves. I think, honestly, if we take a look at the world, a lot of people today are deceived. They really believe and are sincere, but they're believing and they're sincere in the wrong things. I just had a talk with one of my children the other day. I said, you can be sincere about something, but it's very possible to be sincerely wrong. And I think a lot of what's going on is that we might have sincere people, but they are sincerely wrong. They're looking at the wrong things. And we'll talk about that more. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I'll read it for you. You won't have to turn there. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And that'll be our text verse tonight. But keep it in mind, James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now remember, it's very possible that a Christian hears the word but does not do the word. Now think about that. It's very possible for Christians to hear the word but not do the word. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for the wonderful opportunity that I have to preach. I take it very seriously, Lord. And I ask that you cleanse my heart, mind of things I may have done that break your law. Forgive me of those trespasses, those I do on purpose and those I don't. Keep me pure before you today. And help someone, whether in that auditorium or by radio, to get some help tonight. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so we've got 3 points. That's pretty much what they teach you in college. You have to have 3 points. So here we go. Point number one. Very easily, and you've heard this before possibly, do justly. Do justly. Letter A, if you're taking notes, do justly by the decisions you make. Do justly by the decisions you make. I don't know how many times now in all these years of ministry I've been talking to someone or counseling someone, or Pastor Holmes talks about it, or before Pastor Lewis, or Brother Sharp, or we could go on. And as you're talking, eventually it comes up, what you're looking at is the result of a bad decision. And sometimes, people, it's not just one bad decision, it's a multitude of bad decisions. It's like you talk to someone, and you tell them, okay, your choices are door number one, door number two, or door number three. And you tell them, door number three is the correct choice. Door number one and two are wrong. What do you want? You know, David, I think I'll take door number one. Now, hold on here. Let's go over this again. Door number three is the correct choice. So you've got a choice. The door number one, door number two are bad choices. Don't take them. What do I want? You know, David, I'll take door number one. Okay, maybe you don't understand. Audience, we'll take away one of the doors. You have two choices. One, wrong answer. Three, the right choice. What do you want to take? Well, David, I'll take door number one. You know, honestly, seriously, we know folks that have done that, don't we? You're like, guys, the correct choice is door number three. And you can tell them, and you can have a sign, and you can counsel them, and what do? I'll take door number one. I mean, honestly, we can look back at life and see, through the Bible, things we should not do. But what do? We do them anyways. Well, I'll be different. Can I hear to tell you, beloved? No, you won't. No, you won't. Sin will bite you, not sometimes, not maybe, all the time. All the time. Do justly by your decisions you make. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord," boy, that's today, doesn't it? You look around, don't people think it's evil to serve the Lord? To actually have certain standards that you believe the Bible says, and people look at you and say that's evil? I'm 47 years old. I know, I don't look it. I remember a time, there's a lot of things we could talk about, and people, not even saved people, would have said that's evil. Not anymore. Not anymore. I talked to a lot of people today. Stuff that when I was a kid was absolutely wrong for anybody to do. Now we're like, oh yeah, that's fine. That just seems like another thing you could do. And I'm like, are you kidding me? If it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I tell you right now, beloved, we have to decide to live for the Lord. Now, here, simply put, I was raised in a godly home, 306 North 8th Street, Coshocton, Ohio. Three bedroom, one bath, brick home. I can tell you where my bedroom is. The house is there. I still drive by it every now and then when I go to Coshocton. We had a couple of stairs and a landing, a couple of stairs. And almost every morning, if I got up in time, I could walk down those stairs, hit that landing, and there would be my dad, Terry Wyrick, reading his Bible. Almost without fail. Later on in the afternoon, there'd be my mother. She was always cold. I was being prepared. See, in the summertime, I'm roasting because then it's cold. So the AC is down in the car. In the wintertime, can I get a witness? I'm roasting because she's cold in the car. That has nothing to do with the service. Anyways, so I can see my mom. There's Afghan on there reading her Bible. I was in church every time the doors were opened. Every time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in church. I went to Christian school. I went to Christian college. Can I tell you, though, none of that is going to help me to serve God unless I choose to. I have to choose to. It's not good enough. Well, my father-in-law was a pastor for 900 years. Or my daddy, who's 78 years old, was preaching this morning at a church. I called him this morning to wish him Happy Father's Day. Well, Buster, pray for me. They're going to do this thing where people sit in their cars. And I preach and they hear me on the radio. I've never done that before. I said, Dad, you'll be fine. What's he doing? Still preaching the word. Still preaching the word. 78 years old. But what does that mean for me? Example, yes. Beautiful, yes. But for me to love God, I have to make that choice. I have to make that choice. No one else can make it for me. A successful Christian walk, Christian testimony, could be broken down into a lifetime of usually small, good choices. Read your Bible, pray, go to church, witness, be thankful, honor your parents. You start that list, I promise you, you're going to make some good choices in life. Is that everything? Of course not. The Bible is full of things we could talk about. Choosing to live justly begins, has the foundation of deciding to follow God now. So we said, letter A, do justly by the decisions you make. Letter B, do justly by your behavior. John 13:35, but this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his doing, whether his works be pure and whether it be right. I'm here to tell you, in 2020, and by the way, wouldn't you like to just hit the reset button on 2020? I sure would. The world today desperately needs people, young adults, kids, grandparents, moms and daddies who love God and their behavior reflects it. I learned this principle from Mike Neisler's Sunday school class. I can tell you where I was at, first row, like I always was, when I wasn't late. And there's Mike teaching. He said, we owe the world a debt if you're a Christian. Did you know that? Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We have a debt to society that's to show them the love of God. What separates me from everybody else is that I'm a Christian and they see that I love God and it shows. The world desperately needs Christians to stand up and to show the love of God. That's how they'll know. It's so embarrassing for me. I look at someone's social media page. They say, you know, that little thing. Mine says, I think, father of twins, and my wife and I share one. I think hers says something about piano or something. And whatever else. I don't remember. But you see people's profile, and they have a Bible verse on there. Or they'll say, Jesus follower. Or, you know, God's child. Then you look at their content. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I want to private message them and say, do me a favor, take that off your page. Because you make it so difficult for people who actually want to live for God. The swearing, the carrying on, the dirty jokes, the filth. 1 minute saying, pray for me. The very next minute, just explicit, filthy language. And I don't understand that. I don't understand. Someone once said the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is people who confess Jesus with their mouth, then deny him with their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Your walk, your talk, your behavior, it says so much about your faith, specifically your relationship with God. And your faith gets tested, doesn't it? It gets tested. I was watching Nate sing. And I thought to myself, glory to God. I remember there was a time I wasn't sure Nate was going to make it. I look over here and I see Pastor Belcher. We had our doubts, didn't we? I still remember Pastor Holmes looking down from the sound room. And there's Pastor Holmes on the bench, no hair, pale white, probably 50 pounds lost. I remember I was in the radio station when I got the message that not only did the tumor didn't shrink, it got bigger or something. And I thought, dear Lord, please, we don't need to lose him. But yet God came through, didn't he? Amen. But I'm here to tell you, beloved, if he hadn't, he's still faithful. Because some people don't come through. We've lost a lot of good people recently. I still think of Corby Blanton. He still comes to mind. I'll never forget pulling back that curtain. Pastor Belcher and I were together. And Debbie looked up at me and said, David, he's gone. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget I'm in Amarillo, Texas. When I found out that Brother Mike Nice was not doing well, I called Pastor Holmes several times. And I don't remember if it was a text or if he told me. I don't remember. But he said, Mike's gone. He didn't make it. Did he love God? Yes. Were they faithful people? Yes. But the best part about Mike and Corby is their life reflected someone who loved God. Their behavior reflected someone who loved God. Praise God for that. Letter C, do justly by your compassion. I've tried to make this my life verse. I fail miserably, but I try. Jude chapter 20, verse 25 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even a garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, to be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. Compassion may not come easy to you, but it can be learned. It can be learned. I shouldn't say this because it's going to embarrass him, but I'm going to do it anyways. Because he can handle it. I think of Bill Brown. Bill Brown and I have spent hours and hours and hours together. And Bill will be the first to tell you that maybe he didn't always do things like he wanted to. But he has learned over the years to be different and a changed man. And many people said, Bill Brown's a changed man. And what a difference. He could have just said, you know what, maybe I've blown it, or maybe I've messed up. But that's not what he did. What a difference he's made. He's made an impact on my life. He's made an impact on me. He doesn't know it, but I respect him so much. And I think of him so much. And I really watch him, but he doesn't know I'm watching him. And sometimes in passing, I'll ask him a question. He doesn't even know it, but I'm looking for advice. Because somewhere, Bill said, you know what? I'm going to be compassionate, and I'm going to change who I am. Beloved, it's not too late for you to change who you are. I don't care if you're 50 or 60 or 65 or 85. It's never too late. The world's telling you it's too late. The world's a bunch of liars. The best thing you can do is turn off the news, turn on clean air, get your Bible out, and you'll be so much happier, I promise you. I promise you. Especially if you listen to Evening Reflections, right, Sam? We can and should pray for one another, love one another, and be compassionate towards one another. I praise God that we've got a place where we can do that here at Harvest. My wife and I went to several wonderful churches on vacation, but I thought to myself, there's no place like Harvest. I can't wait to get back home. When was the last time you did something compassionate for someone else? When was the last time someone did something compassionate for you? I'm wearing my brand new suit coat tonight. Got it on sale at Beale's Outlet Mall. Amen. Go shopping, right? It's a little tight because, you know, the humidity makes it shrink, of course. I'm like, I am not going up a size in a suit coat. I'm not doing it. I'm already in the, like, Omar whale section. I'm like, I'm not going to get any bigger. Because someone blessed me with a little bit of money. That person told me, God told me to do this, and I believe him. I believe God's telling you right now to do something compassionate for someone. Just listen. It doesn't have to be money. A card. A note. Okay, so point number one. Do justly. Point number two, this is easy. Love mercy. Love mercy. This is probably one of my favorite scripture verses in the Bible, and I only have a couple thousand of them. Lamentations chapter 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Isn't that a beautiful thought? What a beautiful thought. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I have hope in him. Letter A, love mercy in your home. In your home. I desperately want my home to be a place of mercy for my boys. I want them to know that Daddy loves them unconditionally. And just the other day, I told one of my boys, I said, I'm here to tell you, there's nothing you can do to make Dad not love you. There's nothing you can do. Why? Because that's what God loves towards me. He's my example. I'll never forget Pastor Mott. He was standing right here when he said it. He said, there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. That is unconditional love. Beautiful. Christian homes, I'd be a place of discipline, love, and most of all, mercy. Now remember, mercy is not being okay with sin, but rather where sin is confronted and the sinner is always loved. Letter B, love mercy in your actions. The church ought to be a place where there's plenty of Christianity in action. Think about the things we do at church, where it's a place of faith, love, mercy, compassion. Christianity in action. Now, I made a list here. Small care groups where we fellowshipped online together. It was awkward at first. But at the end, it was fun, wasn't it? Just trying. We couldn't get together in person. We went online. RU Recovery had a big old shindig yesterday. Hot dogs and burgers. I heard it went great. What is that? Christianity in action. Mother's Day, we hand-delivered flowers and Christian love. I had a great time doing that. We went out Friday night for hours. We went out Saturday for hours. My wife even gave her flower away to somebody else. What is that? Just Christianity in action. We recently sent out some love offerings to some missionaries in need. Why? Because someone said God told them to give X dollar amount. They gave it to missions. We gave it. And what did that one missionary do? He gave it away. What is that? Christianity in action. During the pandemic, we were supposed to have the share-a-thon. I'm telling you, I thought, what in the world are we going to do? Our biggest fundraiser of the year, and we're having a full-blown pandemic and everything's closed down. And Dan and I talked about it and many others and Pastor, and I was in panic mode. And I thought, what am I going to do? And then I find out that my phone operators couldn't be there. And then Don called and said he couldn't be there. And I went from all the phones covered to hardly any phones covered. And I thought, this is going to be train wreck city. We're going to have $4.13 on Friday morning. But what happened? Boy, people came through. Why? Because his compassions, his mercies fail not. Because this church is used to being Christianity in action. This is a doing church. This is not a church that just stops and watches everything. We're not mill-doing, we're doing God's work. How about the fact that we went to nursing homes and handed out flowers? What is that? Christianity in action. We called, say we, Tammy and others, myself, but mostly the office staff, did what? Called and checked on people, dozens of people, every week. What is that? Christianity in action. We handed out candy to dads and men this morning, tonight, just to say thanks. What is that? Christianity in action. You said, oh, David, is it really? Now, I can't speak for you, but this morning, when I got home to candy, I went in the kitchen where the boys couldn't see me, and I secretly whooped down one of those ho-hos. Because everybody knows if kids, they've got radar ears. If they hear me any candy, whoop, they're right there. I mean, you've never went to the closet to close the door to eat a piece of candy or something? You've never done that before? You've not taken the wrapper? You've never taken the cookies? I don't think they'll see them up here. Please tell me I'm not the only person that does that. If your Christianity is not in action, let me challenge you to love mercy in your walk today. Help the church get involved. And I'm not trying to be mean. Don't be critical. Don't try to change everything. Just roll up your sleeves and get involved. Just help out. Well, I remember the one time. Yeah, probably right. Yeah, that one time you guys and then he. Yeah, probably. Just love the Lord anyways. Just get involved anyways. Just help out anyways. Christianity in action. Several weeks ago, Brother Gene called me. I don't remember if it was a Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember. They say the older you get that you start losing your memory. There's other stuff, but I can't bring it to mind. And he said, hey, something kind of happened, and my brother needs moved. Can you help us out? Well, I already knew the people I could text. I could text David and Michael. I text Ryan. I text Sam. I'm forgetting somebody. I don't remember. Sorry. My boys and me. And Gene was kind of worried, you know, how are we going to have this happen? It's last minute. And I brought my truck, and Sam brought his truck. And the church he goes to, Faith Bible, there's some people there. We got the whole thing knocked out in about 4 hours. What was that? Just Christianity in action. Just people helping out. I praise God that we have a church that doesn't want to mildew, they want to do. How about you love mercy in your mind? Oh boy, this is a powerful one here. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of us in here just can't love mercy. Why? Because we can't forgive ourselves. Maybe you've sinned. I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to throw stones, because all of us have sinned. And all of us continue to sin. Confess it, forsake it. When you do that, God's forgiven you. It's time to move on. It's time to get past your past. Nail it to the cross. Get it on the blood. Get up. Serve the Lord. Let's just go. Maybe it's time for you to forgive somebody else. You ever been hurt? I have. You ever lay your head down like crying? Because someone said to you, I have. You ever had your family tore apart? I have.
Life's too short to hold on to things, beloved. Life's too short. Let it go. Move on. If you have sinned, ask God to forgive you. Maybe you have to reach out to someone else. I don't know. But move on. Go. I mean, did anybody, like, January 1st, have any clue what was going to happen? I know I didn't. That taught me something. Things can change in a moment. In a moment. What you think you're holding on to, I'm here to tell you, it's not worth it. If you're a blood-bought child of God, move on. Let it go. You'll be so much freer. David, what about the pain? If you ask God to help you with that, He will. If He doesn't, He's a liar, and God cannot lie. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Some of us need to love mercy by changing the way we think. Why? Because our thoughts will eventually lead to actions. Brother Roger Morrow, he made a statement in Mike Neisser's class, and I'll never forget it. Some of you remember. Maybe you need a checkup from the neck up. Brother Gene Sharp, don't you miss old Sharpie? He said, "You're stinking thinking." That might have been Pastor Lewis. But anyways, one of the two. James chapter 1, verse 2, or James, pardon me, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's not unreasonable. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God." We need to let go of some worldly things so we can love mercy and live Christ-like. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, you know, if God put that in your mind, or pardon me, if that's in your mind, that the devil didn't put it there. You get a good thought, a compassionate act, is the devil going to do that? Class? No. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy." What's all this stuff going on with the burning and the looting? Who is that from? The devil. Is the devil going? Is God ever going to ask you to destroy, to kill, to steal, to murder? Is that ever going to happen by God? Never. God wants what? Peace. He wants a relationship with you. Who does all the dividing? Jesus made it very clear, one blood, one nation. It's not hard. We're made in His image. What's all this going on? It's not of God. Hate? Making fun of someone? You know, can I hear to tell you that Jesus was not of the United States of America? He's not. God is not American. If so, what about China? What about India? What do we tell them? Jesus died for them too. The message we have of harvest is hope and peace. And it's only found in the gospel of Christ. Do we need change? Absolutely. Because of sin. As long as there's sin involved in my life, your life, anybody's life, there needs to be change. But that change is not found in any politician. It's only found in Jesus Christ alone. Finally, number three, walk humbly. Walk humbly. Letter A, walk humbly with your point of view. So, David, what do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Proverbs chapter 6 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." Let me remind you, beloved, that God hates pride. Man has been trying to do things on his own for literally years, thousands of years, and it always leads to epic fail every single time. Remember, pride is not just in the heart of the unsaved, but it's also in the heart of the saved. It's in my heart. I truly believe there are people today who want change, who want to see things improve, but they have the wrong point of view.
They're trying to do things from man's point of view. And what does that lead to, class? Epic fail. Because when you let emotions or you let your feelings dictate how you live, that's not godly. Meaning if I'm having a bad day, then I'm going to let my actions be bad. But if I'm having a good day, all my actions will be good. Is that Christ-like? No. I'm to live according to what the Bible says. So even if I'm having a rotten day, I'm still going to come to work. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. And even though maybe I don't feel like being a dad, because there's times I'd like to lock myself in and watch ESPN all day with like root beer and steak and cheeseburgers and donuts and no kale shakes and no salads. And just sit there and just like veg, just like eat, yeah, basketball. Is that reality? No. There's times I have to get my fat self off the couch and go play basketball with the boys, but at times I don't want to play basketball with the boys. There's times I don't want to do dart guns. There's times I don't want to go play soccer in the field. I hurt. I've got two toes that need surgery on. You know how bad it hurts to kick a soccer ball with two bad toes? Dad, why is your face red? I'm fine. I'm just winded. I make a lot of mistakes. But God helps me do that. He helps me through. You can't let your emotions, you can't let your feelings dictate that. And that's the problem we're seeing in the world today. It's, what should I do? Well, let's see. How do I feel? No wonder everything's a mess. Because we don't have convictions of what we know is right and wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We don't get to choose who we're compared to in this life. Why? Because what will most of us do? We'll always compare ourselves to the worst. Isn't that true? I can find someone, I'm not going to do it, who I would think would be the worst Christian at Harvest. Well, compared to so-and-so, I'm a great person. Well, no wonder. Is that how it works? No. Who do I compare myself to? Jesus Christ. That's the level. When I compare himself, what is it? Every time. That's a humbling thing. And I know God does this to me. You get compliments. Oh, Dave, radio doing great. And then you get that voicemail. Who ever thought putting you on the radio was a good idea? They need to be shot. That's why I'm like, give us your positive feedback. Because you never have to ask for negative feedback, because you get plenty of that. I've had people say, man, when you turn on the radio, I turn the radio off. I'm like, well, thank you. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all this unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And all our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Walk humbly, let her be with your steps. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I have to submit my will and agree to God and submit my wants, submit my desires, and my steps will follow when I do that. We're witnessing a world today where pride reigns, where emotions and feelings lead the way over facts and convictions. A life that's in step with God will show a life pleasing to God. Notice I didn't say perfect. I'm not perfect. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Ask my kids, they'll tell you. Letter C, walk humbly with gratitude. Don't forget how you've been forgiven, why you've been forgiven, and to whom you owe forgiveness to. In closing, John chapter 3, 16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, now get this, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why when people say, you know what, churches, they just want to condemn you. Is that the job of the church? No. The job of the church is to what? Preach the gospel. The job of the church is not, I'm not here to offend you. I'm here to try to give you God's word. You take it, reflect, and then decide, do I need to make changes? We should never walk out of here. And I hope I try to offend you. That's not my point. Pastor Holmes doesn't say, you know what, guys? I had a great day Sunday, but I just don't think I offended enough people. No. When was the last time you thanked God for taking your payment for sin? We cannot be thankful and complain at the same time. A church is really just a bunch of nobodies trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Here's the deal, beloved. Do justly. Letter A, do justly by the decisions you make. Letter B, do justly by your behavior. Letter C, do justly by your compassion. Number two, love mercy. Love mercy in your home, letter A. Letter B, love mercy in your actions. Letter C, love mercy in your mind. And number three, walk humbly. Letter A, walk humbly with your point of view. By the way, your point of view is God-centered. Letter B, walk humbly with your steps. And letter C, walk humbly with your gratitude. Standing together, let's close in prayer.